First Kings. Now, King David was old and he was stricken in years. And they covered him with clothes, blankets, but poor circulation. He got no heat. He's just cold. He just poor circulation. And just the body would not warm up. Therefore, his servants said unto him, "Let us seek for my lord, the king, a young virgin, and let her stand before the king, and let her cherish him, and let her lie in his bosom, that my lord the king may be warmed." And so let's find a beautiful young girl. She can minister to you, you know, and feed you your food, and then she can lie close to you so that her body heat can warm you. So they sought for a fair damsel throughout all the coast of Israel, and they found Abishag, a Shunammite. And they brought her to the king, and she was very beautiful. And she cherished the king and ministered to him or served him. But the king knew her not. That is, he did not have intimate relationship with her, though she did become a sort of a wife or part of the harem. Then Adonijah, and that really is a very beautiful name. Adonai in Hebrew is Lord, and Jah is Jehovah. So really the name is Jehovah is my Lord. Beautiful name, Adonijah, who was the son of Haggith. Exalted himself, saying, "I will be king." And he prepared for himself chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him, much as did Absalom earlier. And his father had not displeased him at any time in saying, "Why are you doing this?" or "Why have you done that?" David never did ask that question that every parent usually asks his kid when he's done something wrong. "Why did you do that, son?" He never did displease his son. David was an extremely poor disciplinarian in his own home. Had trouble as a result. And interesting that Solomon later writes about it, you know. He writes about discipline within the home. And a child left to himself will bring reproach to his parents. He saw that in his own household. He saw that with his brothers. Brothers not corrected at any time. And he saw that the problems that they brought to the parents. He said, "The iniquity of the world is bound in the heart of the child, but the switch drives it from him." In other words, he said, go ahead and if you spare the rod, you're going to spoil your child. He talks about disciplining because he saw the results of the lack of discipline in his own home because David was a very poor disciplinarian. And he was also a very handsome man. And his mother bare him after Absalom. Now, his mother was not Absalom's mother. But he was the next son after Absalom. The next son in line was Adonijah. Amnon was the oldest son. Then came Absalom. And then came Adonijah. Now, being the oldest son that was still living, it would seem that the throne would then be his. However, in those days, the throne did not always go to the oldest son. David was the youngest son of Jesse. And it did not always follow that the oldest son received the inheritance. But Adonijah sought to set himself up. He saw his dad was waning, getting old, and so he called together these men and the chariots, and he went in to proclaim himself king. He conferred with Joab. Now, Joab no doubt realized that David was going to be dying soon. And Joab knew that he wasn't in very good favor with David. David had tried to replace him in times past, but Joab had always come out on top. But with David gone, Joab knew that he wasn't really in that much favor with the family of the king. And so he probably threw his lot in with Adonijah, which of course he definitely did. And also Zariah with Abiathar the priest. And they followed Adonijah and they helped him. So there was a conspiracy, and these men were all at one time David's faithful men, but now as David is dying, they begin to cast their lots with Adonijah. But Zadok the priest, now there were two priests, Abiathar, who probably was over the tabernacle that was still in Gibeon at this time, but David had the Ark of the Covenant in Jerusalem in a tent there, and Zadok was the priest there in Jerusalem. And Benaniah, who was the son of Jehoiada, and Nathan the prophet. So we've got the sides being formed now. And Shimei and Re and the mighty men which belonged to David were not with Adonijah. And Adonijah killed some sheep and oxen and fat cattle by the stone of Zoheleth, which is by the well of Rogel. And he called all of his brethren, the king's son, and all of the men of Judah, the king's servant. He called everyone to come. Big celebration, you know, going to have a sacrifice and going to be proclaimed king. But Nathan the prophet and Benaiah and the mighty men and Solomon, his brother, he did not call. He called the other sons, but he didn't call Solomon because he no doubt knew that David had made a vow to Bathsheba that Solomon was going to be the king after him. And he knew that Nathan was with David and Benaiah, so he did not call them to this coronation. Therefore, Nathan came to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, and he said, "Have you not heard that Adonijah, the son of Haggith, doth reign, and David, our Lord, doesn't even know it? Now, therefore, come, and let me, I pray thee, give thee counsel that you may save your own life and the life of your son Solomon." No doubt, had Adonijah taken the throne, he would have killed Solomon and Bathsheba so that there would be no conflict in the future as to his reign. So you're going to save your own skin, you better do something, he is saying. "Go and get unto the king David and say unto him, did not you, my lord, swear unto your handmaid, saying, assuredly, Solomon your son shall reign after you and shall sit upon your throne? Why is it then that Adonijah reigns? Behold, while you are still talking with the king, I will come in after you and confirm your words." I will collaborate your story. So Bathsheba went in unto the king into the chamber that David was confined now to the bedroom and to his bed. And the king was very old. And Abishag the Shunammite was ministering unto the king. And Bathsheba bowed and did obeisance to the king and said, and the king said, "What do you want?" And she said unto him, "My lord, you swore by Jehovah your God unto me your handmaid, saying, assuredly Solomon your son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon your throne. And now behold, Adonijah reigns. And now, my lord the king, you don't even know it. And he hath slain oxen and fat cattle and sheep in abundance, and has called all of the sons of the king, and Abiathar the priest, and Joab the captain of the host. But Solomon your servant he has not called. And thou, my lord, O king, the eyes of all of Israel are upon you, that you should tell them who is going to sit on the throne after you. Otherwise it shall come to pass when the king shall sleep with his fathers, that I and my son Solomon will be accounted offenders." We'll probably be put to death. And lo, while she was still talking to him, Nathan came in. And they told the king, saying, "Behold, Nathan the prophet." They announced, you know, his being there. And when he was come in before the king, he bowed himself before the king with his face to the ground. And Nathan said, "My lord." And when he came in, Bathsheba stepped out. That was just common courtesy in those days. Nathan said, "My lord, O king, hast thou said that Adonijah shall reign after you? and shall sit upon your throne? For he has gone down this day and has slain oxen and fat cattle and sheep in an abundance, and he's called the king's sons, the captains of the host, and Abiathar the priest. And behold, they eat and drink before him and say, God save King Adonijah. They're having a big party, David. Celebration, a coronation. Saying, God save King Adonijah. Is this what you wanted? Is this what you planned? Is this thing done by my lord the king, and you haven't showed it to me? Why didn't you tell me, David? You know, we planned this kind of celebration. I thought you would let me know. You know, I thought we were friends, you know. And you have not shown me who should sit on the throne of my lord the king after him. Then King David answered and said, call me Bathsheba. And she came into the king's presence and stood before the king. And the king swore and said, as the Lord liveth, that hath redeemed my soul out of all distress. He's swearing now by the Lord. And in so doing, he declares that God has delivered me out of every problem. Going back over the life of David, we find that, man, David had been in some pretty tight scrapes. There were times that he despaired of his own life, but God delivered me out of all of my distress. As the Lord lives, and even as I swore unto thee by the Lord God of Israel, saying, assuredly Solomon thy son shall reign after me and shall sit upon my throne in your stead, even so will I certainly do this day. Now, David may be old, he may be stricken with years, he may have poor circulation, but the guy's still mentally alert and sharp. I mean, he starts ordering things now and putting things together, and he's got a quick, sharp mind. And so the rest of the body may be going, but his brain is still functioning very well. And so he renews the promise to Bathsheba that Solomon was going to reign after him. He acknowledges that that was his vow that he had made, and reaffirms now that vow. Then Bathsheba bowed with her face to the earth and did reverence to the king and said, let my lord King David live forever. She really didn't mean that, because that would be cruel. The guy's so weak now, you know, he can't get out of bed and got no heat. You know, he's shivering all the time, and you wouldn't want to go on living forever in that condition. But it was just a common courtesy kind of a thing, you know. And King David said, call me Zadok the priest, and Nathan the prophet, and Benaniah the son of Jehoiada. And they came before the king. The king also said unto them, now take you of the servants of your Lord, and cause Solomon my son to ride upon my own mule. Now mules were very rare in Israel. They were forbidden by law to breed them. And so they had to import them. And they were usually only used by the king. And this was a female mule, according to the Hebrew, because it is in the feminine tense. And thus, it was extremely valuable, and only the king would ride upon it, or only those that were allowed to by the king. So let him ride upon my own mule and bring him down to Gihon. Now, Gihon was down there in the Tropian Valley at the bottom of the city of David. The spring of Gihon is down there, actually in the Kidron Valley, about where the Kidron and the Teropian converged. And take him down there, and let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him there the king over Israel. And blow with the trumpets and say, God save King Solomon. So David quickly sets up this counter move to Adonijah's, to assure Solomon upon the throne, riding David's own mule, which is testimony to the people that this is David's choice as his successor to the throne. And then you shall come up after him. Down in the valley of Gihon, they come on up through the city then, that he may come and sit upon my throne. David's palace was in the upper part of the city, the spring of Gihon in the lower part. For he shall be king in my stead, and I have appointed him to be ruler over Israel and over Judah. So David makes it official, the appointment before Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, Benaniah the man who is in charge of the king's personal bodyguard. And Benaniah the son of Jehoiada answered the king and said, Amen. The Lord God or Jehovah God of my Lord the king say so too. May God also say amen. In other words, affirm that what you're saying is the right thing. And the Lord hath been, and as the Lord has been with my Lord the king, even so may he be with Solomon and make his throne greater than the throne of my Lord King David. So Benaniah really responds to this and in a very affirmative way. So Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet and Benaniah the son of Jehoiada and the Cherethites, which were David's personal bodyguards, and the Pelethites, the personal bodyguards also, went down, and they caused Solomon to ride upon King David's mule, and they brought him to Gihon. And Zadok the priest took a horn of oil. Now, of course, they had those ram's horns. They would fill them with oil. He took this horn of oil out of the tabernacle. That was the holy oil that was in the tabernacle that was compounded and was used within the tabernacle. And he anointed Solomon. And they blew the trumpet, and all the people said, God save King Solomon. And all the people came up after him, and the people piped with pipes. They got out their little pipes and began to play on their instruments. They rejoiced with great joy, so that the earth was rent with the sound of them. I mean, just this great tumult, rejoicing, the music, the shouting, and the happy crowd. And Adonijah and all of the guests that were with him heard it as they were finishing their meal. And when Joab heard the sound of the trumpet, of course, he was an army man, you remember, the general, and his ear was tuned to the trumpet. And I thought, it's trumpet. You know, what's going on in Jerusalem? And he said, why is this noise of the city being in an uproar? You know, it sounds like there's a real uproar going on out there. And while he was yet speaking, behold, Jonathan, the son of Abiathar, the priest, came. And Adonijah said unto him, come on in, for you are a valiant man, and you no doubt have good news. And Jonathan answered and said, sorry. Bad news. Verily, our Lord King David has made Solomon the king. And the king hath sent with him Zadok the priest, and Nathan the prophet, and Benaniah the son of Jehoiada, and the Cherethites, and the Pelethites, and they've caused him to ride on the king's mule. Adonijah, you've had it. And Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet have anointed him king in Gihon, and they are come up from there rejoicing, so that the city rang again. And this is the noise that you hear. And also Solomon is right now sitting on the throne of the kingdom. And moreover, the king's servants came to bless our Lord King David, saying, God make the name of Solomon better than your name, and make his throne greater than your throne. And the king bowed himself on the bed. In other words, the king assented to it. When they said this, the king bowed there on the bed, assenting to what they had declared. And thus said the king, blessed be Jehovah God of Israel, who has given one to sit on my throne this day, and my eyes even seeing it. So David abdicated the throne even before his death, turned it over to Solomon in order that there would be no question in the minds of the people that this was the choice of David to be his successor upon the throne. And now David thanks God that he has the opportunity of seeing this even before he dies. I can see now one sitting upon my throne. And all of the guests that were with Adonijah were afraid, and they rose up and went every man his way. I mean, they split, man. And Adonijah feared because of Solomon. I mean, there was a definite competition there between them. Solomon came out on top. And he arose and went, and he caught hold of the horns of the altar. Now, on the altar, they had four horns. On each corner of the altar. And there are altars. In fact, they just discovered one a couple of years ago down in the ruins of the ancient city of Beersheba. One of the ancient altars with the four horns on it. And it's interesting thing to behold. And they would, in imploring God or in praying, they would often go and they would grab hold of the horns of the altar. It was a place of really seeking God in the time of great desperation. And so Adonijah ran in and caught hold of the horns on the altar. And it was told Solomon, saying, "Behold, Adonijah fears King Solomon. For lo, he's caught hold on the horns of the altar, saying, 'Let King Solomon swear unto me today that he will not kill me, his servant, with the sword.'" You know, I don't want to make him swear he won't kill me. Solomon did not swear, but he said, if he will behave himself, show himself a worthy man, there shall not a hair of him fall to the earth. But if wickedness shall be found in him, he'll die. So King Solomon sent, and they brought him down from the altar, and he came and bowed himself to King Solomon, and Solomon said unto him, "Go home." So he sent him on to his house. So that brings us now into some exciting areas as we get into 1 Kings. We'll go into the next two chapters next week, and we'll see Solomon really being established there on the throne in Israel. And now we pray that God will be with you and bless you during the week. As the Spirit of God works in your heart and life, may He just open up to you those rich treasures of God's love and God's grace, that you might experience the goodness of God working in your life. You might be drawn close to Him, that your fellowship with God might just be enhanced through the week as you realize just how much He does love you and the value of His grace. And thus may it be a joyous, blessed week, living in fellowship with God, being strengthened day by His Spirit through Jesus Christ our Lord.